Robert David Steele, we want to introduce you. We don't need to introduce you. Robert David Steele is with us, and he's from a faraway land, Tokyo, Japan. Konnichiwa.
Yeah, Konnichiwa. Freezing to death in the least expensive hotel room in Tokyo.
All right. Hey, Robert, so what brings you to Tokyo?
Well, I came to Tokyo to visit with Ben Fulford, and my trip was paid for by a member of Fulford Circle, and I have had a number of extraordinary meetings. I've posted some photos and a few comments at tinyurl steel-fulford, so steel capital S dash Fulford capital S, F, one of my tiny URL things. So people can go there and see what I'm putting up. There's some meetings that are not secret exactly, but we're not going to talk about them. I'll give you the gist of those meetings, but I won't identify the people I've met. Ben has basically bent over backwards to introduce me to maybe the top 12 people in Japan that he could possibly have put me in touch with, including, of course, the princess from the royal family.
We saw that picture. That was awesome.
Yeah, we saw that.
She is a grand lady. Yeah. And her insights into North Korea are really important. Plus, I was fascinated to find out she's Donald Trump's top supporter in Vietnam. I mean, in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What is the Japanese sentiment for Donald Trump?
Well, the two big things that came out here are, number one, there's a clear perception that Trump is not controlled by the deep state, even though some of us are worried that he's showing signs of being controlled by the deep state. That's number one. But number two, the people I'm talking to are giving him credit for unifying Korea. Everyone here is saying Korea is going to start a very quick process of unifying immediately after the Olympics. And they're going to combine very low-cost labor in the north with very high technology in the south, and they're probably going to be very competitive with China, although I would say it'll take 5 to 10 years for them to really merge those two aspects. Korea is going to be united the way Germany was united, and Donald Trump is getting the credit for that, together with China. And the other thing I heard was that China has agreed to take responsibility for no loose nukes, and in return, the United States has agreed to pull all of our military people out of South Korea, which I have been calling for a long time. Yeah. So there are some big, big changes on the horizon here. And what it boils down to, I think, is that Xi Jinping, Putin, and Trump are talking to each other at a level so far above the morons that they have working for them that big things are starting to happen.
All right. Cool. What is the, by the way, what is the economy like in Japan?
Well, I think I'll say three things. Number one, I have been looking for 4 days and cannot find a cigarette butt on the street.
Wow.
There isn't a scrap of litter in this country. Everything is perfect. I mean, sure, there's broken bricks and things like that, but everything here is meticulously maintained. And the street cleaners, the toilet cleaners take pride in their job. It's really, I've forgotten that part of Japan. Second, everybody's working. There's a lot of, at least in the areas that I've been to, and I also took the bullet train all the way across the country to visit with the princess yesterday. So it was an all-day trip to have a really, really nice lunch. I just generally think Japan has its act together. The other thing is, I've talked to a number of people about Fukushima, and they said Fukushima was way overblown by the Western press. It was just like another earthquake, and there are very, very strong suspicions that Fukushima was a man-made accident. Some people blame the Israelis, some people blame others, but there's clear understanding of Fukushima was a very deliberate attack on Japan.
Wow, that's interesting.
So can you give us a little more insight on what you and Ben Fulford were talking about while you were there?
Well, you know, it's funny. God bless Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has made it possible for guys like Ben Fulford and myself, who have been contrarians against the lame fake news media. In fact, I have a great picture of Ben at my website reading the New York Times. And I asked him, I said, Ben, why are you reading the New York Times? He says, I've got to see what the bad guys are printing. This is all the news approved by the deep state.
Right.
Is the New York Times. So the New York Times is the enemy rag. But Ben and I are talking about what's going on in background, because there is a new economy emerging between China and Russia. There is a new gold-backed currency coming out. There is a really exciting gold-backed crypto initiative emerging, which could become a standard world currency. It's essentially going to take it's going to go far beyond Bitcoin, because Bitcoin now is retarded. It's taking too long to do the data, the Bitcoin mining and stuff like that. So tomorrow night I'm meeting the original guy from crypto, who is now thinking about crypto 2.0. And it'll be a crypto that is much faster, easier to process, more protected. It's just really exciting stuff. And what I found fascinating was the crypto 2.0 guy understands my vision of the world brain, and he wants to spend his hundreds of millions, if not a billion, on sustainable development. So what we're seeing is this triangle of gold-backed cryptocurrency with the world brain using crypto so that information cannot be manipulated or censored the way Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Yahoo are censoring people now. And then finally, sustainable development. My ideas for open source everything engineering are clearly understood here. And it's like, oh, why didn't we think of that? Because we can literally lift the 5 billion poor for 10% of the cost of the Western economy. So you combine gold-backed crypto that breaks down the banks with the world brain that puts the people in charge, with open source everything engineering, starting in Asia and then exporting it to Africa and South America. Now you've got the beginnings of a prosperous world at peace.
I like it. And I think I have the title of the of this video, and that is Bitcoin is retarded. I always take a little snippet.
here's an even better title, because we should talk about Kissinger. I've heard some very negative things about Kissinger. And you know, in Japan, there's this concept of the Ronin, which is like the bandit who's lost their master and they just kind of become like a dog wandering in the street. Kissinger is being referred to as Ronin. Now that Rockefeller has died, Kissinger no longer has a master or a backer. So basically, dead man walking is one phrase I heard.
He's a wanderer now.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So, well, he also should not be getting any time with President Trump or anybody else. Kissinger killed 20,000 U.S. troops when he sabotaged the Paris Peace Treaty. Kissinger should be waiting for death. He should not be talking to presidents.
Right.
Let's go back to being that you're in Japan. Let's go back to Japan real quick. What is their big? What do you think their top concerns are globally, locally?
Well, I got to tell you, it's not something that I've been talking about. So it's something that I would only answer from my own perspective. I think Japan is very, very aware of China rising. And I think that the Japanese and the Chinese are never going to unify the way the Koreans would unify. But I eventually see China, Japan, and Vietnam, which are the three big cultures up here, coming to some kind of confederation. I've heard a lot of talk of the United States of Asia and the United States of China. There is a clear sense that the United States is going to pull out of Asia, as I believe it should, and that Asia is going to become a co-prosperity sphere, which is almost demilitarized. Now that Korea is being demilitarized, or hopefully will be demilitarized, I see Asia becoming the post-Western economy.
The really?
Post-Western
yeah.
economy. Yeah, we've been talking about
we
that.
We have,
for a
and
while.
I've read that for a while now, a few years.
You know, as we've talked, I think you and I have talked about this before, the ghost cities of China are starting to actually fill up now.
Right.
That's a very interesting observation, because I was talking to the top guy for a Chinese-based secret society, one of the cool people that Ben put me in. And we were talking about the ghost cities, and I said, why are they ghost cities? And he said, because we weren't ready to fill them yet. Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to fill them. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he really perked up when I said, well, why don't you create open source everything engineering industries around those ghost cities rather than just trying to repeat the same old industrial stuff? A lot of talk about the Silk Road and the belt and everything. I think China, and I got to give Parag Khanna and Connectography credit for really helping me understand this. While the United States has been wasting money on a military that cannot win wars, and pharmaceuticals and corruption and waste in the federal government, China has been building roads and bridges and high-speed rail and ports and airports. China has basically created a global communications and transportation grid with people in key points of influence at all of those grid points that the United States cannot match. We have been outthought strategically for the last 20 years.
Oh, at least.
Well, and I agree with that. And I kept on telling people the Chinese are not so stupid that they're building these cities for nobody to, you know, what's the old saying? If they build it, they will come. Yeah. And they're coming. And we're seeing that.
Yeah.
There was even, at one point in time, there was talk about the Fukushima people, 40 million Japanese moving to the ghost cities. I won't pretend to know exactly what's going on in China, but I think that they are starting to realize they cannot continue to pollute their country the way they have. The air pollution, the water pollution in China is near catastrophic. And so this guy from the Secret Society who talks to Xi Jinping was very impressed that my open source everything book had been translated into Chinese. And I was able to give him the link for that. And what I think is going to happen is my ideas for open source everything engineering are going to be folded into the larger Chinese concept because they make sense. China can now become the post-Western economy at 10% of the true cost of the Western economy. So they achieve the same things, but at 10% of the cost, because they eliminate the 50% waste and they eliminate the 90% profit gouging by the banks.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of comments when we do interviews with you about open source, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of excitement in the open source technology and your ideas. And, you know, I just hope that it starts coming to fruition.
Two comments, Jim. Number one, open source is about much more than just software and hardware. There are 9 major open source domains. In fact, the guy said he wanted to invest $25 million in a company with me. I don't know if that's really going to happen, but I created a company, Open Source Everything Incorporated in Virginia. It's now ready to receive money if people want to buy any of the 25,000 shares. And the amusing thing is it's $1 million per share. so we'll see. No, actually, I, you know, I'm so terrible with math. Don't invest money in me. I can't do math. it's more like $100,000 a share, figure 25,000 into 25 million. But anyway, I'm starting to see, and again, I credit Trump with this. Trump has opened the door for all of the guys saying that the system is rigged to finally be heard. And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because now people are coming to me and they say, I realize now you've been right all along. I want to give you some money. I want to help you implement this. And so the Open Source Everything company, the first project we want to build is a container that has 3 pull-out solar panels that can then be mounted on top. And then it has tubing that goes out into the ocean. Big, thick tubing goes out into the ocean, a half mile at least. And then it has at least a mile of tubing plus a water tank that can be put together, which goes out the other end toward the village. And then inside are open source pumps and water desalination gear so that you literally, once the solar energy turns on the green light, you turn it on and it starts pumping desalinated water. It pulls seawater in, desalinates it, pumps clean water out, spits the brine over to the side. So that's our first project.
That sounds interesting. Sounds like somebody we talk to, doesn't it?
Yeah. How close does the city have to be for you to be able to do that, pumping it from the...
Well, I would want it to be within like 300 meters of the ocean.
Okay.
But the thing is, these are tiny little things. These are village level kinds of things. Eventually, we want to create an open source everything water desalination plant that is completely solar powered. Or other alternative powers like geothermal, and it can produce 5 million gallons a day of desalinated water. And brine, I've just found out, can be turned into sodium bicarbonate, which takes care of a really big problem.
Yeah, okay, that's very interesting. It's quite a coincidence, too. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Let's come back home a little bit and talk about Trump in the deep state. Trump in the deep state. You alluded to the fact that you said there's some things that you're concerned about.
Well, I have at least two big concerns. The first is, are there going to be arrests? There are a lot of people telling me, you know, we're wondering if we're being played. All these indictments, are these indictments real? Will there be arrests? So that's concern number one. Concern number two, I think it's a huge mistake on the part of the president to approve $500 million being invested in Guantanamo. He promised very clearly as a candidate that he was going to close Guantanamo down. I think he needs to honor that promise, and he needs to turn Guantanamo back over to Cuba. Fort Leavenworth is where I would have put all of these people. But bottom line for me is I'm still waiting to see if he does, in fact, succeed in taking down the deep state. All indications are that he has. I'm also told that he's very, very protected. That he has got multiple layers of protection to the point that the Secret Service is there to carry coffee. I really have a strong sense that Donald Trump is not going to be vulnerable to either impeachment or assassination in what's left of his first term.
What took you to Tokyo? What took you there to Tokyo?
An associate of Ben Fulford decided that we absolutely needed to meet. They paid for a business class ticket. And I will tell you that ANA, the Japanese airline, has business class seats that are roughly 10 times better than United's really crappy business class seats. So I came here well-treated, and not only have Ben and I bonded, but Ben has very carefully and personally introduced me to about 12 people. Among these 12 people are people who talk to the leaders of Japan and China and other countries. And essentially, it's been an opportunity for me to put my ideas for an open source agency, for a post-Google internet, for a truth channel, and for open source everything engineering. Now, I have to tell you, Jim, it really pisses me off that I have to do this with foreigners because my own country won't listen to me.
I was just thinking that.
No, I agree with you.
CIA is retarded, and they have fought me for 40 years. And Jim Kelly's no better because he is keeping me from seeing President Trump.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of resistance over here, too. Our channel is.
Yeah.
Robert, how important is it for the East, their economy and such, to have a gold-backed currency, do you believe?
I think it's a huge part of basically getting completely away from the banks manipulating inflation, interest rates, and currency rates. A gold-backed currency has a stability to it that you don't have when you have bankers who, you know, bankers are literally making up $1 billion. They're just saying, oh, I've got $1 billion.
Yeah.
And then they're using that $1 billion to buy property and real tangible assets from people. This is like massive fraud. So I'm not a rocket scientist. I don't understand all the details, but there is a nano gold currency that's going to be coming out that I think is quite exciting. And all signs are that Ben Fulford is using his relationships to position that currency as a one world currency. which means it would be accepted by China and Russia. And it would actually come with free cell phones for everybody in the world who doesn't have a cell phone. And it would create the post-Google internet plus the nanogold cryptocurrency, plus every person on the planet gets a cell phone and an individual sovereign ID kind of thing so that they can vote and do stuff as themselves.
Well, now I was going to let you go, except you brought up one world currency. And I was just, what do you think about a one world currency? Because we get a very negative connotation when we hear about
that. You're absolutely right, Jim. And when I say one world currency, what I really mean is a currency that's accepted and usable by everyone, which is not controlled by banks or governments. And that's the beauty of a distributed blockchain cryptocurrency system. Yeah. Is it's not controlled by the banks. It's not controlled by the government. Think of it as a one world airspace.
Yeah.
I mean, we share one Earth. We share one atmosphere. We share one big ocean. Okay. And nobody controls all of that. So you're right. One world does have negative connotations. But what I really am trying to say is I think the day is going to come when we will connect every single human mind on the planet to every other human mind, and we'll connect them to all information, and we will give them a nano gold currency that will allow them to live free.
Yeah, well, in some aspects, we've had a one world currency, and that's the U.S. dollar for quite a while right
now. Except you're right, except that was the most corrupt currency we could have had because it was being manipulated. Inflation.
Absolutely. Yes.
I still remember 25-cent movies and 10-cent popcorn. Inflation is a tax on the poor to elevate the rich.
Yeah.
We have basically had dishonest economic governance for the last 200 years.
No, I agree with you. And what you said is exactly right, is that they can just print up money. They can just print up money, give it to each other and say, here, buy some property, while the rest of us are fighting tooth and nail to make a buck.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think some big things, big things are going to change. And my gut feeling is that Trump, Putin, and Xi Jinping know exactly what they're going to do, and they have not told the second level of people that include traitors like Herbert McMaster, who should absolutely not be in the White House. So I'm still faithful to Trump, still holding out for Trump. I would like to build the open source agency for Trump rather than the Chinese. I'd like the Chinese to be playing catch up with me in the United States rather than the United States playing catch up with me in China. Trump, are you listening?
Well, I'll let you wrap it up, Robert. When are you coming back to the States? When are you coming back to the States?
I'm back in the States on the 21st, and I'm only there for a week, and then I go to Tehran and Moscow. And we're discussing whether I go to Beijing after Moscow. The money is starting to move.
All right. Can you
give us the doors are starting to open for me.
Is it going to be open source discussions as well at these places, or different discussions?
The short answer is yes, but it's always some of each. One of the problems that I've had is because I have been so open, it's been too easy for CIA to cut me off at the legs. Mm. So I am planning some things that I will not announce.
Okay.
And I am seeing some people that I will not report. There is, in fact, a global network of 20 million people that is, in theory, potentially poised to embrace my ideas and put them forward in every country where they're present.
Wow. Sounds impressive.
It sounds exciting, actually.
Well, yeah. I got to give all the credit to Ben Fulford. And let me tell you, Ben Fulford is very real and very deep. And these morons that denigrate Ben haven't read his biography, don't know the man. One of the reasons I was glad to come here was specifically to stand shoulder to shoulder with Ben and tell people, I've seen Ben, I've looked him in the eye like Bush and Putin, and he's got a soul.
Okay.
Very good.
Fair enough. Well, so thank you so much again, Robert. David Steele, always a delight having you on the show, and have a safe travel back.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And tell people the short URL is tinyurlstuff and then steele-fulford.
We will.
We'll put it in the description. All right. Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington, inventor of the infomercial, as seen on TV Pioneer, and original shark on the hit TV show Shark Tank. Now, because of my experience, I have the advantage of being exposed to new ideas, inventions, and innovations on a daily basis. So many people like to pitch me their idea. Now, obviously, with seeing so many new ideas, it's rare the one stands out and captivates my attention. But I'm here to tell you that I think I've come across something that could become one of the most profitable opportunities I've ever been involved with. This is the space of digital currency, what's commonly referred to as cryptocurrency.